first time in decades, people were really discussing, does the world have to be this way, and how could we bring a better world into being?
Those who wield power, this was something that was dangerous and intolerable, and it's been suppressed through these coordinated attacks and evictions and the rubber bullets and the mass arrests and systematic violence that's been unleashed, and that we can oppose that through calling out our strength of the support of the people, of the support of millions of people around the world that were inspired by this movement, and many, many people right here in this city who do not want to see Occupy go away. February 28th is going to be a way to take a first step in that and to change the equation around this, to delegitimize the terms that they've set and get right back on our side. And I think there's historical lessons involved here too, like the Freedom Riders. They had to keep coming back and coming back, but they did that because they knew they were right and they knew they could change the equation.
The discussion of these kinds of questions way, way too dangerous. And they carried out systematic brutality and violence against thought and expression to clear out these occupations. To put the matter bluntly but truly, the state planned and unleashed naked and systematic violence and repression against people attempting to exercise rights that are supposed to be legally guaranteed. This response by those who wield power in this society is utterly shameful from a moral standpoint and thoroughly illegitimate from a legal and political one.
How you doing? Hey, Jack.
Good.
Good. Today we're going to be talking about the nuclear abuse of the United States of America, most primarily. But before we do, I just want to do this short promo that says 2 short days from now, you can show up someplace close to you. Perhaps there's another Occupy group you can join, or an Occupy group that has been evicted that is trying to find another place to be. Or perhaps it's just by yourself. Hell, wear your Guido mask into the grocery store backwards like I do, but do it. It's to say that you are not allowing Occupy to leave the building. Occupy Wall Street has not left the building. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
That was a video. I played a video, the soundtrack. I do apologize about the poor sound quality, but it was uncharacteristically out of Dennis Traynor Jr.'s video, which is posted on Roundtree 7 on Facebook and my page too, and I've sent it over a couple of networks. It's a really good video that gives a point of view that says that a lot of folks are feeling like Occupy is tapping down, fading down, and that's really simply not true. And I guess it was Dr. Brother Cornel West that said, you know, we need a day of action just to let the world know that Occupy has not left the building. So on the 28th, the last month, the last day of this short month, please go on out there and tell them what you think. So today, David, and perhaps sometime later, I already sent a text out. I don't know whether or not Kevin will be joining us. I hope he does. But you just don't know. He might be sleeping and getting a little recovering. And I want to say hello to the chat room and especially to Vorp and our own P. Nolan or Tricia. You betcha. Earthalluyah. Amen. Thank you very much. So, Jack, please, you were telling me before we started, you have some information on this front, too.
Yeah, I was delighted this past week to get some information from both Occupy Minneapolis and Occupy Minnesota about the next step for the Occupy movement. It's a regional step, which is a great idea, and it's going to be a regional gathering of all the different Occupy movements for the Midwest. It's called Occupy the Midwest. It's going to be a regional conference, and it's going to be held March 15th through the 18th in Keener Plaza in St. Louis. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's K-I-E-N-E-R, Keener Plaza, I think. And that's what it is. It's the spot right below, right below the Gateway Arch. And they picked that symbolically because that site was used to be a low-income housing and working family housing site, but it was all cleared out just so that the monument could be built. So they picked that deliberately as the site, and I'd say it's a great choice. What they're trying to do with this is they're trying to take the initiative here to take Occupy beyond just the occupation of individual cities into the next realm, which is different groups getting together to share information, to share resources, ideas, and to express solidarity for one another. And they're going to do this through this regional meeting on those 4 days, spread over those 4 days. They're going to have a number of great guest speakers, some of which are from Common Cause and others which oppose the voter ID attempts by the Republican conservative factions. And it's quite a novel idea. It's just I'm very supportive of it, obviously, and in solidarity with it. But it's just a great idea because it's like the next step. It will enable the Occupy movements to share notes, to come up with new strategies, new stratagem, and to you know, further consolidate things and keep the ball rolling. Everybody was afraid it would disappear
that
over the winter.
Right.
But it's not disappearing.
Oh, no, it hasn't left the building. And it's as if by magic. We have Kevin with us. Kevin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
okay,
Kevin.
Great.
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi.
David, you still with us, too?
I am.
Yep.
Great. Well, we're cooking on all burners, as they say, or cooking with gas, whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
We're doing it. Today's show is a discussion about that was great information. Thank you, Jack. Kevin came a little late into the conversation. Kevin, we're talking about Day of Action on the 28th, called for by Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Los Angeles, for everyone to get back out there and start chanting again, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
A reboot, if you will.
Yeah.
Of it. So the subject today is nuclear abuse. The nuclear plants,
yeah,
that have been already given the go ahead. There's two of them in Georgia.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
First two in 30 years. And
yeah,
the next
good
one is about to go right here in Utah on the Green River. It's called Blue,
yeah,
Castle. And I tell everybody, Wallace Stegner and Stuart Udall would be rolling over in their graves. And
mm-hmm,
like, who are those guys?
Jeez.
But the political discourse in this country and the bickering and the ridiculous arguments that these guys are able to sneak these through because no one's paying attention. Everybody's worried about, you know, abortion, or they're worried about gay rights, or they're worried about,
right,
their gun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they blab about, you know, from A to Z, from coast to coast. So the nuclear industry is able to sneak these through without proper meetings, without, you know, public impact. I went to the impact here, and, you know, if this had been even 15 years ago here in Utah, we were the anti-nuke capital of the world forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there would have been thousands of people show up. There was four of us activists there, and not three of us have cancer.
Yeah.
So it's sliding through. There's no public awareness. People don't know, and the state water engineer on the Colorado is the only one that can stop it, and I've been in his ear every other day.
Good.
You know, all the water wars we fought. We fought so many water wars, and, you know, for decades, people dying,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to allow these guys to suck this water out.
Well, you know what they're doing, Kevin? They're telling the public, when the public becomes aware of it, they're telling the public in mass that, you know, alternative energy sources are fine and dandy, but they won't meet the needs of the growing population, and we have to find something quick. And at the same time, they're ramming fossil fuels still big time out there, you know, punching holes in the planet and trying to get more, suck up what they can there. It's diversion. The truth is that alternative energy could take care of us very well.
Easily.
Now, Kevin, you are aware of Energy Solutions, which is about 60 miles from Salt Lake City in Utah, taking nuclear waste now, right?
I've been ranting and raving about Energy Solutions for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible the amount of action that's going on under people's noses. They're being shipped on semis to Utah for this. You know, they did have the Yucca plant that they were trying to
Yucca Mountain's been completed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It has
Reed,
been completed, but it was given up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, in the meantime, Energy Solutions is taking all this radioactive waste.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
60 miles
right
from
here,
Salt
right
Lake
here,
City.
Well, I'm sitting right here looking over the temple, looking right out at it right now. That's where I live. I live out by the lake on the edge of it. Viral
uh-huh.
Solutions, you know, they've shoved this down our throat. Huntsman, when he was our governor, he blocked them. He blocked all these tailings from coming in through
mm-hmm.
here. He blocked them, he blocked them, he blocked them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he quit us. And this asshole that he's appointed, they've been trucking and moving it in here like crazy. I mean, you drive out there. I drive that freeway all the time. They're right on
mm-hmm.
80. You can smell it. You can see it. Their
mm-hmm.
record has been horrific. And it's, you know, this has been going on for decades and decades out there. Mm-hmm. You know, Huntsman put a stop to it for a while. Their environmental record is the worst in the world. There's nobody with a worse environmental record than EnviroSolutions. You know, they changed their name just a few years ago. Or the Jazz's arena is named after it. They run ad campaigns like crazy here. You know, that's probably the biggest ad campaign in the state is EnviroSolutions. They run on television, radio, that for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to
say
that,
call
you know.
Duratec or something like that now or something? I don't know. Or Waste Management, Duratec?
Yeah, they're right in my backyard. I've been an advocate fighting those guys for my whole
more
life.
More corporate lying for the sake of profit.
Yeah, not only bringing in
Utah,
the country's waste, but they were also trying to bring in Italy's waste, too. 20,000 tons of it, right?
In France. They tried to bring in
France's
France. Waste.
Oh.
Yeah, they did. It was a big deal here.
You guys,
this is stuff that people don't realize. It's going right underneath. Just like
you
mentioned, Kevin, it's going right underneath everybody's noses.
You know that 15,000 people last summer got on the railroad tracks in Germany to stop the transportation of nuclear waste, to bring awareness to it and get it, you know, and to bring it to a shutdown.
Yeah, and they blocked all nuclear plants in Germany.
Yeah.
Germany has got
an
organized green movement that can do that.
Yeah,
they
they're to be envied. They do a great job.
They are.
France is chock full of them. Italy's chock full. Here in Utah, like I said, we were the environmental capital of the world because of the downwinders. And all of the, you know, Scott Mathewson was our governor here in 1983 and got leukemia. He was a downwinder.
Kevin, would you expand on that a little bit as far as downwinders? I know exactly what you mean, but, I mean, for the audience, you know,
from
people hear downwinders and they don't realize what it is.
Yeah, people move. From 1951 to 1968, they did the open-air nuclear bomb testing in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
My father was what they call an atomic veteran. He was drafted Marine, and he was human guinea pig. They human guinea pig 40,000 Marines 3,000 yards over, you know, near the trench to kill them all. But anyway, the children and anything, the weather patterns would drift over southern Utah, and the southern Utahns, they get to be 40 or 50 years old, all die of leukemia, and they're termed downwinders.
Mm.
And it was a major, major thing. Scott Mathewson was a Democrat, a liberal governor here in Utah, and probably the most beloved politician in my lifetime. People loved him in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And he got leukemia. He was 54 years old. Jim Mathewson is the only Democrat that we have in the state is his son. And he got leukemia and died, so it was a major, major deal here. And then Stegner's office was right here at the University of Utah. And, you know, of course, Udall and those guys, it was a big deal. But it killed everybody in southern Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still killing. You know, I'm in the LDS Leukemia Center right now. I have leukemia. I have AML. I'm in here right now.
Yeah.
And
I
have all the ranting and raving. Yeah, all the ranting and raving I've done about and carrying on, and I have it.
Yeah,
it's a horrible disease, and this place is plumb full of southern Utahns in here.
Oh, no.
There's a great book, and I recommend to everybody. I think every high school student in the country should read it. It's called Under the Cloud by Richard Miller. He was a scientist at the University of Utah, and he documented the nuclear fallout from the open-air testing all over the country via the weather patterns provided by the government. And he proved the incidence of leukemia and thyroid cancer in 1986. From the open-air testing.
Mm.
Excellent book. I have that book.
Testing. It's a great book.
If I can recommend another book,
go ahead,
Kevin, one that is, it'll just break your heart. It's called American Ground Zero, The Secret Nuclear War. And what it is that a book of photographs taken from all the people that experienced the downwinder, you know, in Utah, St. George, all those small little towns. It's by Carol Gallagher. I'll put a link to it in the chat room.
Carol
but
Gallagher,
if you don't have it, it's
Carol.
Excellent.
Yeah. I know Carol Gallagher personally. She's here to see you. And
oh, my gosh.
John Goff, you know, he worked with a lot, did a lot of literature, too. But her work, she's still doing work.
Yes, she is.
And her work still goes on. She's at the University of Utah now. She runs our public television here.
Mm-hmm. She's a true American hero.
You know, Leonard Byrd. Yeah, she's an amazing woman. Leonard Byrd came out with Folding Paper Cranes, and that's just recent. He was an atomic veteran. That's a beautiful, heartbreaking book, but it talks a lot about downwinders. But, you know, and Richard Miller's last words that he said in the book, we are all downwinders. There are no safe levels of nuclear fallout, and there aren't. It's accumulating. The half-life's 24,000 years. People think it's pollution. It's not pollution.
I know. Good Lord. How can they even think about it? How can they even think about it?
You know, you remember the protests in the late 70s. All of us were participating. You know, the China Syndrome, that movie came out, really put a lot of fuel to it. And God, we had major protests here, you know, everywhere.
We had them down here at Turkey Point,
What has happened to, you know, people don't know. You talk to people right here in this. I'm in a leukemia center, one of the number one treatment centers in the world right here. I'm talking to nurses and people in Utah. They don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about Blue Castle.
Kevin, were you conceived and born after your father had been used as a human guinea pig?
That's where my leukemia came. Yeah, 7 years.
Yeah, oh, my God. See,
yeah,
that's undoubtedly where it came from.
He was 53,
yeah,
I believe so. And, you know, I've got a world-class doctor here named Dr. Finn Peterson. He's one of the world's greatest leukemia doctors in the world. He and I have had many discussions about this.
Yeah.
He thinks it is. He thinks so. Of course, I was a plaster for years, too.
Yeah.
Benzene causes leukemia. But we know it's a man-made disease. The only two known causes we know are exposure to radiation, exposure to chemicals like benzene. It's a horrific disease, horrific. Little girl from Chernobyl that was born way after Chernobyl died in here 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. It's a horrible, evil disease. I've been in here since November, and it's, you know, and the incidence is up 400% in the last decade.
Oh, my God, boy.
It's another form of species suicide. It's just, we have to turn this around. We really do. At the same time, Fukushima hasn't quit.
No, it's still spewing.
We don't hear anything about it. Nothing.
Well, it's not the hot topic of the day anymore, so the media dropped it. You know,
it
was a shame.
And it wasn't even when it happened. The corporate media circled the wagons and downplayed it from day one. I mean, I always, you know, I won't let CNN off the hook. Sanjay Gupta did his Saturday morning 2 weeks later, had a Japanese doctor on saying that a little plutonium's good for you, and he had some punk-ass kid, and they were in Chernobyl fishing.
Yeah.
Now, that's not even downplaying.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Trying to go clear to the other side. You know, to me, it's crimes against humanity. It truly
it
is. Really is.
Pushing it into the
poisoning the world is what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Obama is from the Indiana state, which is like the number one nuclear state in the country.
He's all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all for it.
I know, I can't stand it. It's terrible.
He didn't run on that. He didn't
run
on that.
Right.
He was anti-nuclear power.
He's kind of Scott Walkering us, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
In that sense, yep.
He had transparency, boy, did we get betrayed as a progressive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He betrayed us more than Bill Clinton did when he signed NAFTA. Well, I don't know more, but just as much.
Yeah.
We haven't had a progressive so long, so we're just sitting here beating our heads against the walls.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't even realize, and I'm an advocate, big-time anti-nuke advocate, and I was behind the eight ball on the Georgia plants. I didn't realize those until about 6 months ago were ready to go online.
They put
a
speck under the radar, didn't they?
Well, they've been very successful at keeping it quiet, you know?
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's terrible.
People in Utah, Blue Castle started running ads this week on KSL, our major news station at night, and they say zero fatalities ever in the history of nuclear energy in the country, which is the biggest lie.
That's a blatant lie.
Boundaries.
I call that
how
a
many is Chernobyl
lie.
That is a huge lie.
Fukushima is going to kill millions. You know,
of course,
you know, it wasn't nuclear power, but the open air test. You know, if you read Sokurov, he won a Nobel Prize in 1974. As soon as he dropped the Tsar bomb over, the most remote place on Earth, he said right then it killed 500,000 people within the first decade. It was going to kill me. And he became so hardcore anti-nuke, he won a Nobel Prize in 1974. You know, Oppenheimer, Einstein, every one of them that were involved in this, every one of them were so hardcore anti-nuke and, you know, talked about it killing people 30, 40 years later.
That's what's happened.
Yeah, right after the Tsar Bomba, that 58 megaton, he went hardcore anti-nuke.
He even cut it in half. Yeah,
right,
the height of the Cold War, you know, he's like, okay, you guys want to steal a bomb? I'll show you a bomb. We thought it was a meteor here. You know, until Sweden started, their levels of plutonium
radiation
and
started going skyward. Yeah.
Sweden, the one institute I read estimated within the next 10 years it killed 500,000 in the Scandinavian area alone.
Oh man.
Well, they also estimated that the fallout circled the Earth 3 times from that bomb.
Yeah, there you go.
Everybody was a downwinder.
My line, I always say.
Yeah,
right. It knows no boundaries, so it doesn't matter where they're built. And,
right.
You know, and everybody tells me, oh, you know, this was once in 1,000 years, this Fukushima tsunami. I said, then why did one happen exactly like it 6 years earlier in Phuket?
Right.
It was the same thing. These things cannot handle a 9-point earthquake anywhere on Earth. They cannot handle an F5 tornado.
Right.
Look at the F5 tornadoes we had.
Oh, yeah.
They can't handle it. And they'll admit you. The nuclear industry will admit to you they cannot handle it.
Right.
What happens
then?
What happens if we have one in, you know, we have, God forbid, say we have a hurricane or an earthquake in Virginia in the same week, which we did last week or last year, you know?
Yeah.
And what do we do then?
Well, when the Fukushima lost power, within 72 hours, the cooling pools were dried out, and it was going to meltdown. Within 72 hours.
My big deal is, how can you build new ones when you still haven't no place for the waste? You know, all that 40 years of waste is stored on site. The spent fuel rods are stored on site in cooling rods, and they lied to us in the 70s and said they had a plan, Yucca Mound, they had a plan to store them. They're sitting there, right there on there. There's 40 years of nuclear waste material, spent fuel rods that are laying there, right in every one of these places. We're having
blown in the pool
all the time.
Ticking time bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's accumulative. And we've had accidents here in the U.S., small ones, but it builds up and it builds
up. Oh yeah.
You know, Fukushima.
And not to mention the tritium and stuff that gets released into the cooling water.
The tritium.
I don't know if you even
want
to go into that, but a lot of people don't realize that. You know, that the cooling water that gets released back into the rivers.
Yeah,
they think
it's over with then, but it's not.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a catastrophe. It should be the number one issue in this world, and it's not. It should be number one. Fukushima is 100,000 times what Chernobyl was. Gorbachev entombed it after how many days, and it's still killing people in droves.
Oh, yeah.
And Fukushima, they just pushed it into the water, you know, sort of the human, the biggest, you know, food basket in the world, the Pacific Ocean. Greenpeace is the only one doing good work. Greenpeace is 4,000 miles out catching tuna that are just live with plutonium.
Isn't that terrible?
God.
They're the only one.
Where can people find this information besides the place that Krell put in the chat
room? Good question.
Which is http://fukushima-diary.com.
I've been following that site for a while, and this guy is really on top of everything. There's an article right now that says 500 cars are returned back to Japan because they're too radioactive.
Wow.
There's five corporations that are evacuating where they're at and going to Osaka because of the radiation patterns they're putting up with.
Wow. And
Japan is really hurting right now.
Yeah.
Those poor people.
They are.
Oh, my gosh.
It's heartbreaking.
And
innocent victims. Innocent victims.
Their government is not taking the steps.
They were worried about their economy, just like the Obama administration was. That's why I got downplayed here too. You know, I hate to say it, but I think it was state-run television. I come right out of the White House. I think they were so worried about the economy that I think they were told to downplay this. Because Japan's already admitted that they downplayed it because of their economy.
That's right.
Exactly.
There's evidence of that.
Yeah.
You know,
it is truly crimes against humanity.
It is. There's a woman, her site is named Miss Milky Clown, believe it or not, YouTube, and she is all over this. You know, my YouTube site's all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hers is, you know, more informational, and mine's more commentary and opinionated. But and then there's a guy named radiationalerts.org. It's Dr. Degaria. His site tracks this daily, and so does hers, and they're great information sites. I tell her all the time, her site is award-winning. The work that she has put in and done on this subject, anything that's out there, she finds it and puts it out. And so there is information out there to be had. You know, what they've done in the United States is our levels went 4 times over what the government allows here. Mm. So you know what the United States government has done? They've just raised
change
the legal
standards.
Yeah, I saw that slip by me, yeah.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
You know, it's ironic.
What do you gentlemen think is going to stop this? It's like the one percenters, and of course that is the ultimate problem. It's about profiteering.
Mm-hmm.
And it has absolutely no concern for the environment or for humanity. The quality of humanity is secondary, completely secondary to any other concern except a wee few that are collecting coins. What is the answer to this? The only answer I can possibly see is global revolution. Is the Occupy movement, any
yes.
movement that is approaching the government and speaking truth to power and demanding answers and taking the courageous step to do it? Because you know what?
Right.
Now we can be disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gwen, you bring up a lot of good points because nuclear power plants, the new ones, are not economically feasible. If it wasn't
right.
for the government funding them,
right.
if it wasn't
they,
for the government supplying insurance for the accidents,
yeah.
there is no way they would ever get built. They
right.
are not economically
right.
That's
feasible.
Right.
Yeah.
They aren't. You know,
well,
we
need a massive public education campaign designed against them because that's exactly what we need. We've got to have that happen. And
does everybody realize that
major one
these nuclear power
years.
Plants do not have to supply their own insurance
mm-hmm.
for accidents?
No,
right.
they don't. They don't.
The federal
government
supplies
government
the insurance.
Them.
They're liable
right.
up to like
right. every
you know,
one of
50
them.
Million or something like
oh,
that.
My
but it's,
God.
It's trivial compared to
yeah.
if an accident occurred.
Yeah.
You know,
just
like,
on that
like
fact
the
alone, they shouldn't be allowed to be built.
Right.
Like
yeah,
the payouts
absolutely.
That the government is overseeing and made BP pay out to the Gulf Coasters, which is nada. Or the $2,000 that the people who got ripped off on their homes by fraudulent mortgage default
mm-hmm.
are getting
yes, inadequate.
The Obama administration.
Inadequate.
$2,000.
First of all, the idea isn't to respond. The idea is to prevent. So you don't. They can have all the insurance policies in the world, and who gives a damn? The damage is already done by the time the insurance kicks
right.
in.
Right.
So we don't want to have that damage.
Yes, right.
You know, the straw dog I'm putting out there is saying, you know, hey, listen, none of it's right. It's
mm-hmm.
it's they our leadership is on the wrong side
yes.
of history.
Well, I say it like
and
this on
global.
the BP spill. I proved it in my PhD. I broke it down. When we allowed mm-hmm. offshore drilling in what was that 2003 or 2004, we created in the Gulf region. Even using the multiple effect, we created maybe 400,000 or 500,000 jobs. That's using the five as the multiple effect.
Mm-hmm.
How many jobs did we destroy in the tourism
oh.
industry, in the fishing industry, in
millions.
The restaurant for
millions.
Millions and millions. So
yes,
even
exactly.
from the so-called Republican, it's good for business. If oh. you do the math, it's a drop. It's a drop. What
yeah.
what they've created in.
It's the coins in their hands, not the coins
right.
in the little corner
yeah,
store or
exactly.
the little hotel or
exactly.
any other store. It's the coins in their hands.
Again, 1%.
Yeah, you're right. We are
yep.
the 99%. Little shows like this that
mm-hmm.
get, like, I'll post back up in the social networks and say, please give a listen. We're telling you about what's going on with
yeah.
the nuclear energy
mm-hmm.
that is abusive on the planet and by our, you know, government. Somebody's going to tune in and listen and then turn somebody. When are we going to reach, though? And this is a big thing in my, yeah, new age crowd. When are we going to reach the critical mass
mm-hmm.
where enough people are Occupy? Are
well,
Occupy.
we've got to be relentless and keep on going.
So hard. It just smashes us down. I mean, we have... You know, you sit and watch these people, have a fit about what's going on in Syria, which is horrific. But as soon
yeah.
as we say one peep, this police state beats us down like dogs. I mean,
oh yeah,
they are.
Radical.
Well, we just
complex.
We've got to resist it. You
got
to dig in your heels
yep.
and resist it. You've just got to keep
right.
going, keep going, keep going. You can't stop.
Yeah,
it can be frustrating though, because it seems like the tools. Are just
oh, yeah.
being added on and added on for the government side. You know, every time
oh, yeah.
you read the newspaper,
oh, yeah.
every day it's something else. They can wiretap with no problems. You know, drones
sure.
are going to be flying overhead. You know, it's just like there's so many tools that are being
built. Well, it's up to us to keep them busy.
Any kind of,
keep them busy. Let's keep them preoccupied so they can't keep that up. We just got to be relentless in our pursuit of the truth.
I think that the psychological corner has finally, after 40 years, I think it has been turned, and I think the Occupy movement turned it. We're having conversations about tariffs. We're having conversations about environment that you couldn't.
Right.
I couldn't even bring them up. I bring them up, people would look at me like I had three eyeballs for 30 years. We're having those conversations.
I agree.
You're right.
No, I've been there too. I was there too.
So I think the corner has been turned, and if we can keep the momentum going, I think the next generation is going to look at us and thank us.
Yeah.
You know, I love my grandchildren, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want them to live in this freaking contaminated
exactly.
hellhole.
Well, like we've said all along, it's a movement, and it's not going to be achieved overnight, and you've just got to keep on doing it relentlessly, and eventually
Absolutely.
It will pay off, just like the civil rights movement. They didn't achieve civil rights equality. They still haven't, but, I mean, they didn't get anywhere near where they wanted to right off the bat. It took a long
time.
Yeah.
Well, I got
just like
I have to interject something here, gentlemen. As David and I were discussing in a chat room in the Journey Roundtree 7 room on Facebook, I said to him after a long line of people commenting about something that was, I can't remember, David, what it was now, but do you get... I think it was a post by Diane about drones or something, but the words used that the government is paying attention to on the internet.
Oh,
to
for social media.
Yeah. But I said, do you not get take a look, guys, at what is going on in the country right now. Look at what's happening in the conversation. We're out here in the Occupy movement speaking about real issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our leadership and our banking industry and even the celebrity industry talking about nothing but bullshit.
Oh,
they're talking
totally
about
removed from
rape
reality.
And women.
Well,
and,
they have
and
the wrong priorities.
Healthcare away. It, no,
completely
it's
completely removed from all reality.
Going, something is going on.
They're
though.
In their own
I'm
little
su-
worlds.
They are.
I'm suggesting that it's more so than I have ever seen it. Of course, the media is more controlled, maybe, than it ever has been.
Oh yeah.
But. I'm saying something is being, it's like we're in a crucible,
mm-hmm.
or we're being driven to a catalyst point.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things is that the government and the people of power are recognizing that there's a movement building up on the other side. There's more cognitive awareness of some of these abuses that are going on, and so...
Mm-hmm.
As one front is being built up, the other side is building up defenses, and I think that's exactly what's going on. I think
mm-hmm.
the government is building up defenses because they realize that, you know, it's sort of like in a flashpoint right now. It doesn't take very much
for a
pivot point where everything will just catch on
Absolutely.
Fire and take off.
Right.
And they want to have the tools to be able to combat that.
Right. And, you know, part of the problem is groups like ALEC, which deliberately spread disinformation and encourage their members and their adherents and their benefactors to falsify the truth. Incidentally, while we're on that subject real briefly, I'm going to mention Leap Year Day, February 29th, coming up this week. Occupy Minneapolis is staging a big protest against ALEC. It's urging people to get in contact with all their state legislatures here in Minnesota. But I want to make this evident to everybody out there in the blogosphere and stuff, too, that on the 29th, the group is going to sponsor a protest on the steps of the state capitol in protest against ALEC, and ALEC is our big enemy. I've identified them before in various blog posts, and everybody needs to know what an evil, corrosive influence ALEC is.
Well,
it's the American Legislative Exchange Commission, and it's funded by the Koch brothers, and it's crooked.
Yep.
Chamber of Commerce.
But these are
well.
Just the buffers. These are just the backup systems around people like Barack Obama
right.
and Mitt Romney and all
oh, yeah.
of these other leaders who are standing up and pouring utter crap out at us, as well as Angela Merkel and whoever is the, I can't think, is it Brown still the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom? They're losing their French president. There's more problems there as there are in Italy. And who the fuck knows what's going to happen in Greece? Greeks are in the streets. They're dogs. They're cats and dogs.
It's total chaos.
So many families are.
You know what my line is I use on it? I say what Greeks and Italians, we call violence. In America, Greeks and Italians call passion. We could use a little more passion in this
you
country.
You bet your ass.
Well,
yeah.
You're,
you know,
you're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think Greece is going to wind up being out of the European Union. That's for sure.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they will, too.
Iceland has made a case
for
anyone wanting to leave the greedy fingers of the IMF that is the European Union.
Right.
How do we do that in this country? How do we leave
I really believe this thing is a volcano going to erupt. I don't think it's people are thinking, the government's a square. I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen over the next 6 months. I think this volcano is going to go off.
Right.
And I think it's just boiling right now through the winter.
And I hope it does. We need it to go off. We need it to go off.
I hope I see it before I'm gone. And I hope it explodes. You know, my niece is up in Portland. And she sends me some, videos that she hasn't posted that I look at. And those kids are fighting up there, boy. Just like
they really are.
They are going at it.
Hats off to Portland. You're right.
Yeah,
they are.
They're
fighting.
Say it's Oakland. Oakland is a sterling example of how Occupy runs. I mean, they got several little affiliate groups in Occupy Oakland. There's the People of Color Coalition. And there's the Decolonization Coalition that's there, who our good pal Oso.
He's right in the epicenter of it. Oso, yeah.
Yeah. And there's, of course, there's New York. There's nothing, we've got the structure is there. The structure is absolutely there.
Bob, your opinion's there, too, for the first time in 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big, big, big component. And these guys can harness it and turn it into a wildfire.
Right.
Because it's sparking, it's burning.
And it's not just the United States. It's Mexico. It's
the world.
Still camping out in London. Yes. It is a world revolution
right
now. So it's, well, like I said, on the 28th, I did not know, Jack, that it was a leap year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the 29th is the actual last day of the month. So that movement on the 28th is the traditional last day of February, but not this year.
Well, guys, I'm going to have to interrupt here. I got to take off. I got something with Morgan and possibly.
Well, thank you, David, for everything. Appreciate it, all the information.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Dave.
Keep up the good work, man.
Good to hear from you, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, definitely.
Take care, okay?
Yep.
And see you later, Glenn. Bye, Jack.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye, David.
Thank you, David, for being with us this evening.
Yeah.
I tell you what, guys.
I'll tell you what. If you talk to some, I have a lot of people I talk to in Europe. A lot of a lot of my family lives over there, and they're looking over at us, and they're blown away at the police state. That's all I hear from them. They're like,
oh yeah,
they can't believe the way the Occupy is beaten down, And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah. They're blown away.
Mm-hmm.
They had no idea that it was this military repressive, and I said, "Oh yes." Yeah,
well, if you've been
on
the left as long as we have, you know that there's been a police state out there, and it's gotten worse instead of better.
It's obscene how large it's gotten.
Right, it's terrible.
Well, and I don't
get beat down like dogs.
Well,
yeah, who would have ever thought there would be legalized rendition or legalized Guantanamo stuff? Who would have ever thought that years ago? I mean, it's beyond our imagination. It's terrible. We're heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, we're so far gone off the edge, and everybody's like, they ask me because I'm a socio-economist, Kevin, what is the answer? And I says, when the baby boomers get so old, they're out of power, and this younger generation takes power. It's generational, and it's going to take time. But, you know, I compare it a lot to 1911, you know, the shirtwaist fire was 100 years ago, and I talk about the garment district movement in New York. It took years for that. And it took some major, ugly, ugly episode when all those girls were killed. And when those girls were killed and all jumped her to death, that's when this. That's when minimum wage happened. That's when overtime happened. That's when 2 weeks vacation happened. It's. I hate to say it, but I really believe it's going to take something freaking ugly to wake this freaking baby boomer themselves up.
Well, you're probably true.
Well, I don't think, gentlemen, it's just confined to the United States. I think this is a global wake up.
It is.
I think that it's going to and. What is going on in Greece is also happening in Portugal. It's happening in Italy and quite
Ireland.
A few places. It's
happening in Britain.
It's happening in Ireland.
In Britain,
what's going on is a lot of what's happened here in the United States with
right.
the police coming down heavy-handed on people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they are everywhere, but they only go so far in those other countries. You know, did you hear... And I've spoken about this a few times. I think it's absolutely stunning. Over a week ago, when the austerity measures were being gone over in Brussels, in Belgium, in Brussels, the firefighters turned out in group effort, and the police were there to you know make sure nobody got out of hand. Firefighters turned their hoses in the dead of winter on the police.
Yeah, good.
You know, a big fuck you. You're not getting away with it. We're marching through.
Yeah,
that's
good.
It's going to take dissension from within the ranks.
Right.
You're going to have to see police departments where people are saying, no. You know, we had a major shooting in Ogden on a kick-down-a-door thing. This kid opened fire and stuff, and it's really broken the ranks of that police force. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, you know, cops with power. You know, police chiefs saying, you know what, I'm on these guys' side. This is wrong.
Well, you're right.
What's happening?
It's starting to happen.
Among the occupiers, yes, I've heard of three distinct stories, beginning with the fellow from Philadelphia who came up to Al's in uniform and said, I'm with them.
It's
happening.
Yeah, it was great.
There were cops out west who said, and there were cops in Denver when they were cracking down a couple of months ago that said, no, can't do this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And let me tell you what, if you are one of the people who's watching as this is going on with the live stream feeds or anything, and you go to call in to any of those cities, to their police department or their city halls, all of the phones are almost magically turned to a place where it answers the phone by machine and then it hangs up on you.
Oh, isn't that cute?
That's Homeland
Typical.
Security. No,
Typical.
This is Homeland Security.
Yeah, Homeland Security.
Oh, it's insane.
I mean, they've taken that so far to the extreme.
That bureaucracy needs to be overhauled big time. It's a disgrace.
You know, they're building the new NSA building right here.
Utah
got the contract, 1.8. But what did I read? The cooling contract for the computers was going to be, you know, how many millions of dollars.
Oh, my God.
You know, why wouldn't they put it right here? I think they're building it right behind Carl Rove's house here. I know it is down there in Happy Valley.
Oh, my.
So it's under construction right now.
Yeah, disgusting.
So you know, like I said, when they took to the street, that trumps all that. You know, they could block all your freaking language and your phone calls and track who you are and what you are. But when there's, you know, 100 million of them taken to the street,
exactly.
Then there's no. What are they going to do?
Right, exactly. And we're heading in that direction in a healthy way. We're heading in that direction, and we need to keep it up.
I think we are.
Yep.
But in Greece, there's 20,000 to 30,000 to 40,000 people in the streets of Athens on any given day anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think about? Can you just wrap your thought around that?
45% unemployment. 45.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And think of that. That's the height of the Depression here. The height of the Depression here was 39.
Horrible, yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the real unemployment rate here is probably well in excess of 20, and the underemployment probably 30, 42, but people are working at, you know, minimum wage, two jobs, so they can't.
Yeah, and it's not the result of exorbitant living by the Greeks who are being foolhardy with their money. That's a big myth.
No, it's the IMF 1% or
exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Move the Greenspan when he started cutting the rate instead of raising it. You know, Iceland's the perfect example. Iceland tried to go it alone. It's called the carry trade, and that bankrupted their country. So when Greenspan was lowering the rate, when he should have raised it, Europe had to follow suit. You know, there's the culprit was all started right here, and it was the biggest, greatest financial move in the world for the 1%. It was all absolute done on purpose. It's an austerity move. And it's been going on for 10 years. If people were paying attention to those wars in 02, 03, 04, when inflation was raging, when this was going on, you know, like I said, anything gets, you know, my little ad waking up the public, let's just go start another war, which they're trying to do in Iran now to get people's attention off.
Yeah.
That's quite true.
Yep. Well, Goering and Goebbels had that same idea, too, and they used it.
Yeah. And I speak to people who are very conservative or Republican, if you will, here in my neighborhood, and they're sick and tired of it, too. Yet they still are rotely saying things like, well, you know, Iran does not mean us well. What are we going to do? And the best I can do is say, you know, I have a friend I made through social networks who lives in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Two houses away from her, a United States drone hit the house and killed two children in it. That's real. That's that's no degree of separation.
And I don't think the Iranians don't dislike. I think the average Iranian in the street probably does not have discontent for the American public.
No,
right, exactly.
I think the average Iranian probably... What are you talking about? Because it's just it's a game plan, you know, from the top, just like we get here. It's like you go to Europe when Bush was president, and the Europeans wouldn't even serve you a beer. They spit in your face, and you're like, no, wait a minute. There's a lot of us that don't like you. Most of us don't like you.
Right, exactly.
We get put into that pigeonhole, and I think that's what's going on in Iran.
Right.
Quite true. I mean, and that's what I'm explaining to my letter carrier friend. I'm saying, you know, my friend in Pakistan doesn't blame me. She blames the leadership at the top that she knows many of Americans are having a hard time trying to speak some sense to. She realizes that it's not American people, but American
leaders. That's one thing
leaders.
That we have done. I'll give one thing to Barack Obama. I'll give one thing that I'll give to him. He has changed that discourse to where people around the world are starting to say, hey, these guys aren't all a bunch of assholes.
Right, exactly.
Know? Americans are fighting just like we are. You know, during the Bush administration, we were all a bunch of no-good scumbags to everybody on Earth.
Right.
You know, so he has turned that corner. I'll give him that's the only credit I'm giving.
Right.
Well, you know, but here's the thing. It's getting Americans to realize, let me tell you what, I don't give the Obama administration any kudos for bringing this awareness out that, you know, the other countries. Yeah, the other countries, you know, it's like they're just as happy in the White House right now if the majority of Americans feel like Iranians are our enemy. That's
they are. You're right.
And it's reprehensible, and it's damaging to the intelligence of the community because most people do not think that whole countries are against them.
Right,
this
exactly.
This began with the Cold War crap. And
a young guy right here on I-15, the most conservative county maybe in America, you know, Utah County down here, put up a billboard 2 days ago. It says, bomb Iraq, or bomb Iran, and then he had it crossed out, and then he says, support the troops, and then he had troops crossed out, and he says, I really mean support the radical military-industrialized complex. And it's gotten huge attention here, and this kid's gotten huge attention.
If
you look it up on YouTube, and it's had a lot of hits. So even Utah, they're starting to get bolder and starting to say, you know what, this is wrong.
Well, great.
And
that's a healthy development. We were flamed so much disinformation by neocons during the Cold War and during the before they were even neocons, and during the Bush administration especially, we got fed nothing but bullshit for years, you know? And
we've been indoctrinated.
You know when David was talking about Dorothy, her book that he mentioned? You know what she breaks down to the atomic veterans being nuked in the open-air test? She breaks it all the way down the last chapter of her book. She blames it all on the Eugene McCarthy radical far-right idealism.
Right, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yes,
and that's what it was.
That was
now,
the beginning of the great American decline right there. That was the beginning of the great American decline.
What did
you
say,
the communists are getting
Kevin?
Us, the terrorists are getting us. Here I'm dying right now. I'm full of freaking cancer for something that was happened by neocon idealism that happened in the 1950s. The Eugene McCarthy freaking ideas. Just like little girl dried Chernobyl, just like me, these are things that happened before I was conceived. And so the decisions that we're making on nuclear energy, on the Occupy Wall Street, you know, we're affecting generations out.
Yes,
exactly. The cancer that I have has affected me long before I was ever conceived. I had, long before I was ever born.
Yeah.
And, the decisions being made today, maybe it's a mess for us, but, you know, hopefully we can fight and maybe, two generations from now or a generation, they can look back and say, at least those guys tried,
You know what, Kevin?
I think that's what America
is
about.
In essence, that's why we occupy.
Yeah.
That is exactly why we occupy. For the future of the world, to make it sane again instead of this insane, greedy, conservative bullshit.
I think that's the difference between the progressive and the conservative. I think the difference between the progressive and the conservative, just is self-indulged, wants it all right now.
Right.
They don't care about anybody themselves and their hairspray and their bullshit. And I think real progressives and real liberals care about other people and they care about future generations.
Very true. Very true. Very true, my friend. Very, very true.
Well, I've got to go. I'm getting ready for my pain med, Rich. Well, not my pain med. I'm getting my antibiotic. I've got a stat.
Okay. Well, Kevin, we wish you the very best, and we're heartsick about your situation, and we sure wish you the very, very best going forward.
Yeah, I appreciate it. All of everybody's prayers. I got cards and letters via my YouTube site from all over the world.
I'll bet you do, my friend.
I have very, very good doctors.
Great.
It has really helped me. It has helped me so much.
Thank God. I'm so happy about that. That's great.
This is a war from hell. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
So I'm going to go. I appreciate all you guys' work. You guys have
keep the fight, my friend. Keep the fight in you.
I will. You guys
good.
Too.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Well, we got a big, busy couple weeks coming up here. We've got the Occupy rebooting. We've got a protest against ALEC. We've even got a new thing launched called, which we can maybe cover next week or something, called Occupy Our Food Supply. And I'm going to do a little more research on it.
Yeah, I spoke about that. There was a day of action. There is a day of action on it tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Right.
I spoke about it. I did speak about it on Friday. You're right. We really need to cover that. I want to thank Kevin Blanche, and please, you can find Kevin's YouTube video blogs at roundtree7.com, and that's the number 7, and you can find him on YouTube at Kevin D. Blanche, and his stuff is worth listening to. He'll educate you. And, of course, Jack Jodell of Saturday Afternoon Post is a blog. That's jackjodell53.wordpress.com. And also sponsored by Daughters of Isis.
Mm-hmm.
So patronize us. You can find links on our show page. And Jack, thanks so much for being with me again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gwen. Very nice to be with you again. And all the listeners out there, we're in solidarity with everybody. So let's have some action.
Hey, don't you know it? We'll see you back here again on Sunday for the Sunday show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it.
Great. Good show, Gwen.
Thanks.
Good. It was nice hearing from Kevin.
It was a good show.
That he's ill with the AML. That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible scourge for him. But we wish him the very, very best going forward, and we hope there's a breakthrough for him.
Yes. And beat the shit out of it. Really.
That's right.
Thanks to David Williams Krell over at Roundtree 7. He's got a couple of really great posts up right now. Please go.
Very
go
brilliant
on by
man.
And take a look at him. He is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's it, Jack.
Well, great, Gwen. Great show. Talk to you next week, I guess. And good night, everybody out there in listener land. And be sure to engage in something positive this week for the benefit of humanity.
Well, that's a good idea. I like
Very
that.
Good. You bet. We try to do it every day in our own way.
There you go. You've been listening to Here Be Monsters. This is the Sunday show. Thank you very much. Please stay tuned to Blog Talk Radio. And in about 1 minute, go on over to Progressive News Network with Rick Spezak. It's about women activists in the state of Florida this week. So give them a listen. And that's all we got. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.